NowTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Haughty. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the Rack, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you.
Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second and you happen to have Twitch Prime available, well, you can use your free sub, that's right, free for 30 days, and you can subscribe to this channel and get all the great content without ads for free. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen. If you don't have Twitch Prime or you don't have a Prime sub available, well, you can still subscribe the regular way. We are happy to have you. And if you just want to follow and hang out, that's fine too. We welcome everybody to this network. And then if you're in a following mood, you can follow me over at twitch.tv/Lindsay Ward, because one day Comcast is going to get it together and I'm going to be able to stream again. I have no idea when that is, but it's going to happen. Anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me as always is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman Sir Rockin.
Hey, it's the 8-year show. Generic party music.
It has a kind of like 50s vibe to it.
A little bit.
Little, you know, doo-wop. Kind of, no, not doo-wop, but 50s.
Little 50s.
It
gets the job done. You tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or here at twitch.tv/TVGLive. And join us for the 8-year celebration, because we're talking all positive and happiness.
Yep, we're just doing a regular show, because it's 8 years, and there's a lot to talk about this week, stuff that we did not purposefully talk about last week because we wanted to let it develop, and holy shit did it develop. So we are going to talk all about
things.
All the wrestling allegations, all the things that happened on one particular topic after this first break. Just so everybody's aware, we are talking about that. We're going to go through it, but it's going to be after the break. So we're going to talk about the other major story that broke this week first. So which, I have to tell everybody,
which is technically the bigger story.
But they're both kind of equal. And just to let everybody know, this is going to be a very news heavy show. The new segments are going to be longer because we have a lot to talk about in these, so I'm sorry in advance. We're also talking about Taker. At the end of the show, we are going to review the final episode of The Last Ride. There will probably be ugly crying involved. I am not responsible, by the way, for anything that happens tomorrow night during SmackDown, whether live or when I'm rewatching it, depending on when I will have seen it, because I will have been drinking, and I'm probably going to be ugly crying at that, too. So.
Okay. For starters, you know, all happy and positive news. That was sarcasm, chat. That was sarcasm.
This is going to be a really heavy show. This is not going to be a... We're going to try to make it as upbeat as we possibly can, but this is just basically wrestling Twitter. Wrestling in general was kind of on fire this week, and not in a good way. So,
that's an understatement. I mean, let's be real. The wrestling world is now under fire.
Yeah, it, yeah. So anyway, we're just going to get into the news brought to my friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So the biggest news that broke this week, I'll put it like that, is that WWE and AEW now both have confirmed cases of COVID within the company. WWE has had essentially an outbreak inside the company where 12 people at minimum have been confirmed to have tested positive for the virus. Those people, we do know three of them, and that's a combination of crew, talent, and staff. We know three of the names for sure, which are Renee Young, Kayla Braxton, who's actually had it twice now. This is her second go round. That just sucks for her.
I'm
so sorry for her.
That really sucks.
That's terrible. Like, she even tweeted out that, like, she thought she was immune and she was fine and she'd had it. And now that she'd had it, she was okay. And then she found out that she was reinfected and she's, yeah, that's terrible for her. And then Adam Pearce was also came out on his birthday, by the way. Happy birthday, Adam. I'm sorry.
Former guest of the show.
Former guest of the show. Very nice individual. Very talented individual. Our favorite enforcer ever. Adam Pearce sadly came out and said he did, in fact, test positive for COVID. Those are all the names that we know. Just to break it down for AEW and their COVID testing, QT Marshall and John Moxley were exposed to someone that had the virus or exposed to someone else who had been exposed to the virus. In the case of Moxley, he kind of got it secondhand, but they were advised not to come to the tapings and stay at home and quarantine. But given the fact that Renee Young has tested positive and is possibly infected, there's a very good chance John Moxley is as well because they're married. They live together. That doesn't mean anything. He could not have it.
First-hand knowledge doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I said possibly.
I know, but I have first-hand knowledge.
Yes, I know you have first-hand knowledge. Just because one person has it doesn't mean the other person has it. So there's a very good chance he doesn't have it, but there's a very good chance he could have it as well. Because I also know whole households that have gotten it. So it just, I think, just kind of depends on your constitution and your level of exposure and everything else. I don't know.
You take the precautions, you do everything the correct way, and no matter what, it still can get you. And that has sort of like shifted everything with WWE. They've told talent to, they've informed some talent that they had to get tested before they could even come to Florida. And today, people who arrived in Florida were tested a second time. I believe they get tested one more time before the tapings. I'm not, or this may be the time, and they're going to be doing regular testing
from here on out.
Here on out, there will be no friends and family on the upcoming TV tapings. Which I guess is a good thing or a bad thing. Who knows?
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, it's sad because they can't bring their friends and the family to the show anymore. I think WWE was really trying to explore the possibility of opening it up to more audiences.
They were trying to get back to normal. They were trying to bring a little bit of normalcy back to professional wrestling and sports entertainment. They were trying to get back to that point.
Because they were targeting July to have audiences back, end of July, and now that is not even a remote possibility. All of that has gone on hold. And I've heard a lot of things and I've seen a lot of things since this came out. And I saw this perspective. We're going to kind of do a little early tweet of the week, but I wanted to share this perspective because it's sound. And I want people to kind of just listen to this and understand it because a lot of people are angry about people getting positive tests and how supposedly WWE and AEW are endangering talent and all this other things. I just want you to hear this, and I want you to listen to this. So this is from Mandolin Lenore on Twitter. Okay. It's clear WWE and AEW are still running shows in order to maintain their TV contracts. By the way, this is after WWE put out that they are essential to the nation, which is okay. Anyway, it's clear WWE and AEW are still running shows in order to maintain their TV contracts. That's business, and it's rarely pretty, but that's the reality of signing million and billion dollar agreements. That said, wrestling companies should go to the networks and see if they can tape a few weeks of programming during a set time, bring in who they need, film 3 to 4 weeks of TV. It keeps everyone from traveling to a COVID hotspot, which is Florida, regularly. Now, I will say they are taping. WWE at least is taping 2 weeks at a shot, or they're trying to.
But when WWE tapes 2 weeks at a shot, they're taping
Raw, SmackDown, NXT.
Main Event and 205 Live. So they're taping a good, what, 18 hours in a shot in 2 days.
Yeah, so they are doing that. They're trying to do that.
AEW is also taping two consecutive days and then going home in most cases.
Yeah, so they are. I don't think WWE can do 3 to 4 weeks. AEW could because they only have one show.
Which they did originally.
Yeah, so they could get away with that. WWE, it's a little bit harder. They would essentially have to have everybody down there for a week to probably do everything, and that's not feasible to do. But continuing, no family, friends, or fans should attend any of these shows. Pipe in crowd noise if they want. Don't bring in new people who you don't know if they've been social distancing. That's fair. If you use talent staff as crowd, maintain social distancing and have them wear masks. Likewise, stop with the lumberjack matches and the battle royals. No need of having that many people around the ring at one time.
That's an AEW shot. Anyway.
But it's a fair point.
No, it's a fair point. But and to WWE's credit,
they're not doing that.
They're not doing that. They've not done a battle royal. They've not done a lumberjack match. AEW has done both.
Test all talent and staff regularly, which AEW has been doing this whole time.
Yes.
WWE has been doing, I think, temperature checks. Mm-hmm. This is WWE's biggest flaw. They should have been testing for at least 2 months now. It probably wouldn't have stopped the breakout, but it would have given them some clue of what was going on, essentially. And that's an extremely fair point. Them testing from the get-go would not have stopped this.
No.
I want everybody to understand that. You know, everybody's like, well, if they had tested from the start, this never would happen. No. No. And you want to know why it wouldn't happen? Because here's the next point. Wrestlers need to use common sense. They've been on social media showing off beach photos and birthday parties where they did nothing to protect themselves. WWE can test all they want. Same thing goes for AEW. It won't matter if wrestlers are being dumb beyond their job.
Which, you then look at the guys like Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, who have taken steps to self-quarantine, stay with their families. Kevin has gone off into the woods. Roman stayed home with his family. You've had people social distance the proper way, but not everyone sees it as serious, or they want to have some semblance of life. They don't want moments to fly by. They try to do them. Continue.
And I mean, I get it. We've all been, and Brock and I were talking about this before the show. We've been in quarantine now since March, almost going on 4 months now. Not quite. It's about 3.5, but going on 4. We're all getting stir crazy. And the thing is they've now started reopening everything. Florida and Georgia and several other states have the bars open. They have the beaches open in Florida. They have restaurants open. They're opening movie theaters. They're opening concert venues. They're opening all this stuff back up. And it's like, we can now get back to normal life because COVID was on the downturn. Now it's back on an upswing. It's on a major upswing. I know in Florida for sure, and I think it's going to be on a major upswing here in Georgia. And you need to check where you live too, because there's more and more outbreaks happening everywhere. And the thing is you have people going out. They're not social distancing. They're not wearing masks. I don't know about anybody else out there, but whenever I go to the grocery store, I rarely see people wearing masks. If ever, I'm wearing one, but I'm not seeing anybody else really doing it. It's very, very rare. And I understand some people think it's a crock. I understand people think it's uncomfortable, it's unnecessary. It's your choice. But here's the thing. If you're a performer, and if you're having to go into an environment where you've been potentially exposed, this stuff spreads like lightning. And in a fishbowl, that is the performance center, as you can see, one person walks in with it, 12 people can get it. 12 people get it, it could double, it could triple, it could quadruple, and eventually the entire staff could potentially be sick. They may not be, but that's the reality. That's how this spread. One person brings it, and a bunch of people can get sick. You have to be smart about this stuff, guys. You gotta be smart. Which brings me to the last point. And finally, We as fans have to stop being hypocrites. If we're watching these shows during this time, we can't tell WWE or AEW to stop production. We can't point out problems and give our opinions. We're part of the cycle too. No one's innocent in this. So basically, we need to cut them some slack. If people got to show up in masks, okay, people have to show up in masks. That's completely fine. I've never personally been against that. I didn't even know that was a thing. I don't want to say they weren't allowing people to wear masks, but they weren't necessarily encouraging people to wear masks. But I think people felt safe enough that they were like, okay, I don't really need to wear a mask. I think that was that situation. But you have to understand that they're doing the best that they can. And their hands are extremely tied because right now they're running with a limited staff. And this is both AEW and WWE. Okay? They're running with limited staff, limited talent. Nobody's being forced to work. Nobody's being forced to show up. If you do not want to come to work because you are concerned about COVID or you have pre-existing health conditions or you have someone in your household that has a pre-existing health condition and you do not want to expose them, because for wrestlers and staff and everybody that are working these shows, that they're traveling back and forth, there's a huge exposure risk. You do not have to show up. And that goes, and you can say that at any time. Clearly, you can say that at any time and be like, you know what? I just need to self-quarantine, or I want to self-quarantine for a little while. Is it cool if I stay home? Yes, it is absolutely cool. We've seen that with Kevin Owens. We're seeing that with Sami Zayn. It happened with Roman Reigns. He was kind of the first. He set the bar. He was like, you know what? I'm going to go home. I'm good. I'm going to chill. But we have to cut them some slack because they're performing. They're putting these shows together. They're giving this to us, and they don't have to. They could have shut down. And we've been saying this from day one. They could have shut down. And they said, you know what? We're going to send everybody home.
And here's why. They won't. At least AEW won't. They can't.
No.
Television contracts are holding them.
It's the only thing keeping... Well, I shouldn't say it's the only thing, but
it's the only thing keeping AEW afloat.
Yeah, the money involved in that, that's what's keeping them going.
They have to produce content. It's some things are facts of life. Producing content for your television partners, you have to do that at some point. Is it a health risk? Yes. Can you produce content in different ways? Yes. But there are parameters, and it sucks. Like, everyone's in a bad spot, but sometimes you have to grin it and bear it and take every precaution in the world. Sometimes things will happen. We're looking at baseball coming back. We're looking at basketball coming back. There are going to be issues. We're seeing cases pop up before baseball even gets back into play. We've had UFC events where a fighter had got pulled. It's just going to be a thing that happens. It's a new reality. It sucks. But here we are.
LeMans, to kind of answer your point, Vince can't stop them from wearing masks under any circumstances. I think they're trying to figure out a way where it's not mandatory for them to do it, because the problem is for wrestling a match, you can't wear a mask wrestling a match. It's going to be a little tricky. So I think they're trying to figure out what the stipulation is on that. But honestly, I think it would be good if they had people in the audience or the entire audience wearing a mask. I think that would send an incredibly powerful message to everybody, because I feel like everybody out there, you know, so again, people don't want to wear them. And if you don't want to wear them, that's fine. That's your personal choice. But I feel like a lot of people feel like they don't have to, or they shouldn't, or it's stupid, or it's whatever, right? And so to see, you know, it's like, hey, on WWE, you have people wearing masks in the audience. They're social distancing. They're doing everything that they need to do. Fuck, put a hand washing station in the background. I don't really care. But like, just show that you're actually doing what you're supposed to be doing. And if people see that, some people will be like, hey, you know, maybe I should do that too. And eventually that message will spread. It's all about using your platform for that. I don't think he can bar them from wearing masks either. There are reports coming out from the last time that they had, for the one time that they had outside individuals in there, that they felt completely safe and they didn't, you know, they were going to wear masks. And then it was like, hey, you know, there's hand washing stations and there's social distancing and they're scrubbing everything down. And, you know, they felt safe enough in the environment that they did not have to wear a mask, or they didn't, you know, they had every intention of it. But it's like, hey, you know what? I actually feel pretty good about this. I'm not going to do the thing. I'm going to not wear the mask. So I think it's all up to people's personal choices. If somebody wants to wear a mask on TV, they cannot tell them no. And they cannot throw them out of the building legally. They can't do it. And they know that. So if somebody wants to, now they may, if they want to be in the audience and they want to wear a mask, they may stick them off camera in the back. They can do that. But, you know, they can't look at somebody and say, hey, you can't wear a mask to TV. You can't do that. It's legally, you can't do that. They would get in a lot of trouble for that. So we'll have to see. But I would be totally cool with the audiences wearing masks. I think they should be. I think if you're going to have an audience in there, they should be wearing masks. They should be protected. Because it's like you went to the lengths to put up the plexiglass and everything else. Why not do masks? Just saying. So because of this, getting back on topic, this is going to mean changes in the products. WWE has already sort of accounted for the people that are affected, are impacted, and they are they're reprogramming things accordingly. Case in point, they're doing a tribute to The Undertaker tomorrow on SmackDown, where apparently they're going to re-air the Boneyard match, which is a 45 minute match. So that tells you right there, one, we love Taker, but two, their programming has been majorly impacted to the point that they're going to give that match away for free on TV. I haven't heard anything about AEW. I know they've had to kind of tweak the title match.
There's a chance, depending on test results, that Moxley will not be appearing at Fighter Fest in the next 2 weeks. But that,
well,
we got time. They film on the first, so.
Well, but if Renee's got it.
Okay. If Renee's got it, then he probably won't be there. But I'm going with what the statement is now.
I know. I'm just saying. But if Renee's confirmed, he probably shouldn't go. But again, that's all personal choice. So that's kind of the COVID update. Again, just keep Renee Young and Caleb Braxton, Adam Pearce, QT Marshall, and John Moxley, and everybody else that we don't know about in your thoughts. You may want to send them a well wish, because I know they would appreciate that. If you want, it's up to you, but let's hope they get through this, especially Kayla Braxton, because again, she's had it twice, and that just sucks.
It does suck, but it wouldn't be our 8-year show without breaking news, right?
No.
So I'm going to hit the button, and then we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
This just into the news desk, presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG12F. Impact Wrestling has terminated its relationship with its current, reigning, and no longer defending Impact World Champion, Tessa Blanchard. She was scheduled to appear at Slammiversary coming up on July 18th, but will no longer be appearing as she's been terminated from Impact Wrestling. She was supposed to send in a promo from Mexico, but she failed to do so, and, well, they've been having trouble with her since... since the COVID situation has begun. She's held up in Mexico at the moment, but she has been released from Impact Wrestling.
Okay, there you go. Sorry to see Tessa go. She made history, but hopefully she lands on her feet and figures it out. I'm sure Impact will figure it out in terms of crowning a new World Heavyweight Champion. So
the upcoming, what was a 5-way, which will probably now be a 3-way for the world title. Is gonna happen. We'll tell you why it's a 3-way in our next segment.
Yeah, after the break, we're gonna get into the other things that are going to impact the programming. So, all right, moving on from the COVID situation.
Speaking of programming,
Fox Sports, due to budget cuts, has canceled boxing and soccer programming along with WWE Backstage as a weekly series. They could still produce it as a biweekly or a monthly series, depending on the situation, but...
Or for special occasions, it could become a digital property. Right now, it is officially canceled.
Yeah, it's due to ratings, due to money, due to everything else. It's just, they're not going to run it, because it's not getting that strong a rating. If it was doing gangbusters, it probably wouldn't have that problem, but it's...
You know, it's not doing a strong enough rating at 11 p.m. on FS1 on a Tuesday. Come on now. Let's be real. They put it in an awful time slot.
They did. They really did. 11 p.m.
On a Tuesday, a non-wrestling day.
Yeah, it's not a good slot for it. But they would always, like, re-air it Friday nights at, like, 6. And so it's like, because I would always be having dinner with the family, and we would go to this restaurant, and it would be on, and so it's like I could see it there and at least see it while I was eating dinner. So it's like, oh, hey, there's Backstage. So unfortunately, that's been canceled for the time being. There's no word on what's going to happen to it, or if it's going to come back, anything like that. But for right now, it is canceled. And another surprising move that will impact programming, Charlotte Flair is taking time off. And she's reportedly going out for surgery, but nobody knows exactly what the injury is. We're not sure. She is not expected to be back until Royal Rumble. She has indicated, let me finish, that she would come back in the fall if the story was right, but she wants to take time off at least until Rumble.
Maybe. Here's the thing. Okay. This whole story, she couldn't be gone for a couple weeks. She said, in her words, gone a few weeks, was her words in some interview today. Few weeks. There are reports that she's missing SummerSlam. She may be back for SummerSlam. She may be back for Survivor Series. There are a lot of stories going around that she has TV interests, acting interests. There are a lot of different people trying to come after her for different things here and there, and maybe that's what she wants to go do, and maybe she just wants rest. We don't know. There's a lot going on, but it appears, as of now, and this could all change, testing pending, she's gone for a little while. Because if the testing happens and people fail, and then they may need her, so her time off might get cut short.
Yeah, it's entirely up in the air at this point for her.
Who knows? But Charlotte's going to be gone for a little bit of time. 5 weeks, 7 weeks, 10 weeks, 6 months. Who knows?
Yeah, nobody knows. But it's just, it's interesting she's choosing right now to take the time off. Especially since now Becky Lynch has just stepped away. But Charlotte has carried the company for a long time. She's been their top star. She's been in that position for a long time. And she needs a break. She's probably burnt out. She's been doing stuff at the PC from the get-go. That's got to be hard on her. So, I mean, I don't blame her for wanting to take time off. I just think it's extremely interesting that she's picking, like, right now.
And this could have been scheduled for a while. Like, this could have been scheduled back in January. Here, I want to take this summer off. And it's just, we're at a collision course. You never know.
Yeah, it's just timing is just weird, that's all.
It is very weird, but she deserves the time off. This will allow other people to be put in positions of, prominent positions right now. While she's away.
Yep.
Make new stars, he says out loud to people listening on the internet. Make new stars, WWE. That way when Charlotte comes back, she can face the best on WWE. I don't know if I mentioned the name or not, but Bianca Belair is who I was hitting at.
Where did Bianca Belair go? Why did they stop pushing her?
She didn't have a program, so she was off TV.
Give her a program? Because she's amazing? Just saying. And speaking of taking time away, Sarah Logan has indicated that she's stepping away from wrestling for the foreseeable future. She is extremely invested in her homesteading project and doing TV and content for that. If you don't follow her on Instagram or on Twitter, she's out there all the time talking about hunting and cows and living a simpler life. And I say good on her, man. That's awesome. So she's not intending on going back to wrestling anytime soon, which I don't blame her.
I don't blame her at all either.
They have really cute Scottish cows. And I mean, honestly, when you have a cute Scottish cow, why would you ever want to go back to wrestling? Seriously. They have two. Or no, I think they actually have three.
I don't know.
They're adorable. They're like fluffy. Anyway, moving on. Extreme Rules got a name change. I have no transition for this. It's now known as Extreme Rules, the horror show.
God, WWE. I get it. It's probably the tagline for the Bray Wyatt Braun Strowman match.
It probably is. But I don't know, though.
But the timing of the usage of the phrase, the horror show, on the week you have a horror show going on in your company.
Yeah.
It very unfortunate timing.
Very, very bad timing. Very poor timing on that.
Just a little bit of bad timing. A little unfortunate. But it probably, that would make sense. It would be the Bray Braun thing. Because the dead has been resurrected.
He became a necromancer while knitting and crying in the corner, chat. I'm so happy. You have no idea. I mean, I love The Fiend. I love Funhouse Bray Wyatt. But god damn it, if I get my swamp slut for a couple weeks, I am here for this.
You heard her clap. That means she actually is here for this.
I am. I'm here for this. And if they call that match the horror show, that's going to give me extremely high expectations. And it damn well better meet it. And by damn well better meet it, I mean, the bar has been set with Cena in terms of Bray Wyatt matches. Just saying.
There you go.
And last but certainly not least, in a non-wrestling note, we did have to talk about this because this is huge news for the gaming community and for streaming as a whole. Microsoft dropped a bomb on Tuesday. Monday?
Monday.
I can't keep track anymore. Twitter has been on fire all week. Anyway, Mixer dropped a bomb on Monday that it has announced it is closing down effective immediately, and all streamer contract or all streamers and affiliates are being transferred over to Facebook Gaming, as Mixer is now partnering with Facebook Gaming. The exceptions to the rule, because you had several major contracts in Mixer, are Ninja and Shroud. They were paid a lot of money to leave Twitch, and I think Goliathan too, but Goliathan went to Facebook Gaming. Ninja and Shroud were paid a lot of money to leave their Twitch channels behind and go over to Mixer. Both of them have indicated that they are not going to go to Facebook Gaming. They opted out of that deal. They got paid out a ridiculous amount of money, apparently. Nobody knows the exact sum. I've heard it's in the neighborhood of $30 million, but I don't know that for 100% certain. But Ninja and Shroud are essentially now free agents. They can go wherever they want to go. And there is a lot of speculation that they're going to go back to Twitch. Ninja has been on his Twitch channel as of recently, making updates to it. But he hasn't made any kind of formal announcement. He's probably going to make one, I would bet, next week or in a couple weeks. I haven't seen anything for Shroud.
There's been no announcement. They're both taking time to figure things out. It's big. Mixer closing down is huge. There's a lot of people who are without a platform at the moment or transitioning to different platforms. No, I don't know anyone who really watches Facebook Gaming, so that's unfortunate. But also,
if you watch Facebook Gaming, go follow Darkness429. He's amazing.
There you go. But no one was watching Mixer either. Ninja and Shroud did not bring over the viewership that they had hoped they would. They brought over followers, but the viewership was only a fourth to an eighth of what they were getting on Twitch. Because it's a different platform, and people, thank you people for all watching us here at twitch.tv/WTLive. This is where your home is. It's more accessible going to Twitch rather than a Mixer platform. It's the truth. Because of apps and stuff, you can get this on your phone, your TV, etc.
Well, from what I understood, at least when Ninja went over, not everything was set up yet the way that it was set up on Twitch. So the monetization options were limited and they were very weird. I think they had gotten them up and running by the time all this happened, but streamers just could not make the same amount of money. It was hard for them to get viewership because Mixer is Mixer, right? Like when you think of a gaming platform, you think of Twitch or YouTube, which has gained hugely in popularity. Facebook Gaming, which has gained huge in popularity because they make it easier for streamers. I think Mixer was a little complicated and a lot of people didn't necessarily like it. They were willing to pay out in terms of getting people to come over, but in terms of viewership, like you said, it just wasn't there.
Mm-mm.
And Mixer has struggled for almost a year now, and I think Microsoft was finally like, you know what, we're pulling the plug. What really sucks in this is that some of their employees didn't know that this was going to happen, and some of their streamers didn't know that this was going to happen. And so they found out on Twitter that they were out of a job or they were out of a platform. And that's just horrendous. That's absolutely horrendous that some people had to find out they were out of a job through social media. So I'm sorry to everybody that has lost their job or has lost their platform, because that completely sucks. I know somewhat of the hard work that it takes, not really, but the work that goes into building a community and building a channel and doing everything that you do for it. It is a lot of hard work that really does require almost your full attention and dedication to do properly. And to people who have given up their jobs and given up their lives and put all their chips in on streaming and have had success over a Mixer, they're now trying to find a place to go to rebuild that channel and that community. So, and I've been seeing some of this, and I'm going to kind of agree with a lot of the other streamers that I'm seeing. Please don't gatekeep Twitch or YouTube or Facebook Gaming. Please don't be that asshole that's like, well, I was here first, you shouldn't be here kind of thing. Please welcome everybody with open arms, because they had no choice in this. It's not like they're like, oh, I'm not seeing the numbers on Mixer, so I'm going to go back over to Twitch. Or I'm not seeing the numbers, I'm going to go try YouTube, or I'm going to go try Facebook. That's not what this is. This is literally, they woke up to an email that was, hey, we're done. Take your shit and get out. That's what that is.
You got 30 days to leave.
You have 30 days to leave. All your stuff is transferring over to Facebook Gaming. You can go over there if you want, but we really don't care where you go. That's what happened to them, to everybody, every single person on that platform. And now they're trying to find a place to go. So please, please be nice to people. Welcome them with open arms. Help them out if you can. You know, support them because they need it, right? It's a rough time. It's a hard time. And like people like Ninja and Shroud, they're impacted as well. But I think they're going to be okay.
They'll be okay.
In the long run, they will be okay, but the smaller streamers, not so much.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens, but I say we take our first break of the evening. What do you say?
Sounds like a good idea to me. It's going to be quick.
All right.
It's going to be very quick, y'all.
It's going to be a very quick break. Go get a drink, go get something to eat, come back, because when we come back, we're doing the second half of the new segment. This is going to be long. This is going to be heavy. I'm just warning everybody in advance. We're going to try and make this as quick and painless as possible, but we are going to get into the misconduct allegations and everything that's happened around that. So if you want to hear about that, you just go get something and come back. But you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night
bang event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and you're listening to Rack Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Back to my friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you have Twitch Prime available and you would like to subscribe for free to this channel, well, please feel free to subscribe. We would love to have you. But if you just want to follow or subscribe the regular way and just hang out with us, that's fine, too. Everybody's welcome. We don't judge. And if you're in a following mood and you want to follow my channel, it's twitch.tv/Linz Ward, and I would welcome you over there as well. So we took a quick break because we did all the other news, including the COVID information. So if you're just tuning in and you missed that, you're welcome to go back and watch that on the VOD after the show is over. And we wanted to do a quick reset because now we are going to get into the misconduct allegations that have absolutely rocked the wrestling world over the past week. We talked about this very, very briefly last week because it was just starting when we went on air last week, and it has since just absolutely exploded, and rightfully so, just based on some of the stories that I've been seeing out there that are just horrific. So I also just want to say this before we get into this. You are attacking people because of this. Sit down. Stop it. All right, just stop it. Don't be attacking people. Don't be rude to people that are speaking out on this. This is an extremely difficult subject for people to talk about, especially with some of the stories that have come out, and it takes a lot of guts to say these things publicly. So just please, be kind to people. Don't be rude. And if you can't be kind, just don't respond. If you see something, just and you disagree with it, you don't have to comment. You can just keep going. It's really not that hard. I'm serious. It's really not that hard. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. So, all right, now we are going to get into this. Sorry, I had to say that because, like, I've been seeing that going on, and it's like, just stop. Just stop, okay? Just stop. So, this all started because of one David Starr, where he was being called out due to specific allegations that were made, and he was outed on Twitter by multiple people. And he has denied it for months. This actually started months ago with him, and he's been denying it vehemently. And it started to snowball from David Starr to Ligerio, where, again, multiple people came out against him and made allegations of a sexual and abusive nature. And that's where it all started to snowball. Because essentially it started with UK wrestling and the UK wrestling scene as a whole. Because from there, Jordan Devlin, Travis Banks, Joe Coffey were all accused of various things, and specific varying levels of proof have been provided. Jordan Devlin, in particular, the lady involved, posted pictures of the supposed abuse because his was physical, and it's terrible to see. WWE then called a meeting with their talent to figure out what was going on, to find out what was true, what wasn't true. And from there, Jack Gallagher got accused. David Crist got accused.
Which is Impact.
It just kind of all snowballed and all these names started getting thrown out.
Let's stick with Jack Gallagher for a second. Jack Gallagher attempted to apologize on Twitter. That did not go over well. He was released Friday night by World Wrestling Entertainment. He had his last official match on 205 Live on Friday.
Continue. Yeah, and it wasn't even the wish you best in your future endeavors.
There were no endeavors. It was, he's gone.
And they have since tried to expunge him from everything that they can expunge him from. Jimmy Havoc was accused, and so was Sammy Guevara. Thank you. Sorry, I don't know how to say his name. They are with AEW, and that's an interesting situation that happened. And I think people are not necessarily happy with Impact's response, or not Impact, AEW's response to it. Because as we saw, Jack Gallagher was released the day he was accused. WWE contacted him, spoke to him, and they were like, yeah, no, bye.
So the Sammy Guevara situation is a little bit different than anything else we're talking about. He decided, him and Sasha were going back and forth on Twitter over the weekend. They were taking some fun little pot shots at one another, and then Sasha Banks has a loyal fan base. Well, we're gonna start with that. Sasha Banks has a very loyal fan base, as has been documented over the years. Because of a loyal fan base and Twitter as it is, decided to look into Mr. Sammy Guevara and found a comment he made on a podcast 4 years ago, where he made some insensitive comments about Sasha Banks. We're not going to repeat them.
He wanted to do things to her sexually that would not have been welcomed.
That's the PC way of saying it. So there you go. He apologized to her directly. They had a phone call. She put out a statement. He put out a statement. He also did a video apologizing. AEW thought that was not enough. They have decided to suspend him indefinitely. He will have to seek sensitivity treatment, and his salary will be donated to the Women's Center of Jacksonville.
And I've seen a very mixed response on this, because people wanted him fired. In this case, I have to disagree with that, just because of the severity of allegations that have been thrown around. I shouldn't say thrown around, that's a really bad term to use, but have been thrown out. What Sammy did is not on the level of what other people did. And we are going to get into other people, because there are a couple people out there that they should go to jail. I'm just going
to
be real.
We'll get to him. We'll get to the main culprit in a moment.
Yeah, we're going to talk about them in a minute. Sammy, he made an insensitive comment 4 years ago, and 4 years is a lot of time. You grow, you change, you learn. And Sammy has apologized. He's apologized directly to Sasha. That does not mean it's okay, but he has spoken to her. He has apologized to her directly. They handled it like adults. He has been suspended without pay indefinitely until he gets the training that he needs. And if AEW is satisfied, he will be reinstated. If they're not satisfied, then nobody really knows what's going to happen to him. I'm not sure if he stays suspended or he's fired at that point. But I feel like in that case, and his salary is being donated to the Women's Center of Jacksonville, I feel like that is a suitable punishment for that. I don't feel like he should be fired. He should be given the chance in this instance to show that he has changed. Now,
the other one in the AEW court.
The other one is Jimmy Havoc. Jimmy Havoc was accused of basically physical, mental, and verbal abuse, among many other things. And Jimmy Havoc was before Sammy, I should also point that out. AEW released a statement about Jimmy Havoc that basically saying that he is currently either is being sent or has been sent to rehab for alcoholism and other issues. And at this time, they are not going to pursue any action against him until he is out of rehab, which I don't know how I feel about that, because he should absolutely get the help he needs. Absolutely get it. No matter what, he should get the help that he needs. And I know firing him right before you send him to rehab or while he's in rehab is not going to help him.
That is, for someone who's very unstable, that is not the most stable thing to do. So you're trying to give the guy a benefit of doubt. But in some cases, when there's allegations of this nature, more action should have been taken.
More action should have been taken, and I have faith that more action will be taken, because this is not going away. This is not going to go away. And if AEW tries to bring him back after this, they're going to get a lot of flack for that. Because here's the thing. The other two major companies out there are firing people, or they're letting people go because, or people are resigning because of this. So AEW can't say that, well, you know, we feel our actions were appropriate when people are being terminated from their contracts, you know, pretty much within a day. And Jack Gallagher is the one that is kind of being cited for that, because WWE was like, oh, hell no. No, no, we don't want anything to do with that. Bye. So it's, well, we're going to have to wait and see on Jimmy Havoc. We're going to have to see how that goes. Hopefully he gets the treatment that he needs and he's okay. And then we see where they go from there. I would at least hope for him, above everything else, that he's stable and he's okay coming out of rehab.
Yep. What's next?
All right. So we mentioned other people. Dave Lagana, who was the VP of NWA, has resigned after allegations have surfaced of a sexual nature, where he took advantage of someone who was staying with him while she was sleeping. He pretty much automatically resigned after the allegations came out. And then days later, he's now denying the allegations, saying that they never happened, which, okay, all right.
All right, I'm going to flat out say this. If you resign right away, you're guilty. And then coming up with a statement afterwards, if you weren't guilty of anything, you wouldn't have resigned. You would have waited to make the statement and then see where your cards were. You would have seen where your cards were dealt. He could be telling the truth, but God, that just smells funny.
Yeah, it's like I understand he probably auto-denied to save the company, or he auto-resigned to save the company
here's the thing. This is not the first time with him. There have been allegations in the past that have gone under the table when he worked for other promotions that he did
things.
Whether it was in WWE, in ROH, and etc.
Yeah.
There are stories, and we're not
there's a precedent there.
Again, there's a history of things. So
yeah. So we'll see where that goes with him. I'm gonna kind of skip over that one because I want to the next one because I want to talk about that separately. I also mentioned, like I said, Jordan Devlin, Ligerio, David Starr, Travis Banks, Joe Coffey. They've all been out in allegations. I think I heard Wolfgang at one point. There's about last I saw, the list was about 80 people deep.
Right.
I think it's gotten longer since then.
There were names. We're just naming a few. Because if we sat here and named everyone.
Oh God, we'd be here all night.
We'd be here all night.
We would have started like 4 o'clock this afternoon to finish this. Matt Riddle has also been accused. He's denying the allegations straight out, and he's seeking legal action against the claims. This isn't the first time Riddle has been accused. His accuser is the woman that he was having an affair with, that his wife knew about. It's a very strange situation.
It's a very strange situation. Apparently, he was very upfront with WWE about a year ago about the whole situation. So they already knew of his history beforehand. So that's why there has been no actions against him. Unless something else comes up, Matt Riddle is fine.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. This one's an interesting, and this was, again, this is part of the UK scene. Basically, the UK British, or the UK wrestling scene has been very, very rocked by this, because this, again, this is where this all started. Progress Wrestling, Glenn Robinson and Matt Richards and James Amner, or no, I'm sorry. Glenn Robinson and Matt Richards are leaving the promotion after allegations. James Amner, Lucy Kay, Vicky Haskins, and Michael Oku are now taking over as management and running the promotion for them, or in place of them, because I think they still have ownership, right?
I don't know. But
I don't know if they've sold it or not, but they're at least stepping down as management of the promotion due to
involvement
allegations of that nature. MWL ring announcer Mark Adam Haggerty has left the promotion or been terminated from the promotion following text showing inappropriate exchanges between himself and an underage minor.
That one's, we said at the top, chat, humdinger.
And he's not the only one.
This one's going to upset a lot of fans. This next situation. Allegations came up over in the last couple of days surrounding Mike Quackenbush and his involvement with Chikara. Chikara Pro Wrestling has been shut down. Quackenbush has resigned as the head trainer of the Wrestle Factory.
Okay, so Chikara's done.
That's the unfortunate tale of this whole situation. Chikara has a very unique fan base, is the best way to put it. And that sucks for them, because now they've lost out on... And Chikara is a very niche product, I guess is the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost their niche product, and you're losing a fan base there, and that sucks. So,
well, he was really the brains and the powerhouse behind Chikara. And I think in recent years, they'd kind of been struggling, because they sort of had their heyday, from what I remember, back in like the early teens. And because they were really, really big, and then they've kind of sort of like quieted down other promotions have risen.
Their big thing was the Trios tournament everyone looked forward to every year, so.
Mm-hmm. King of Trios.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it's sad that Chikara has shut down, but the allegations about Quackenbush were extremely severe, and so action had to be taken. He released a statement basically saying that, basically taking responsibility for the allegations and the fact that he wasn't going to necessarily besmirch any names or anything like that. He released a very classy statement, basically accepting responsibility for what he had done.
Thankfully, someone has stepped up and taken responsibility.
Yeah, because this next one didn't, at least not the first time. So this is kind of the sad joke of this situation. Marty Scurll.
Oh, good Lord, Marty Scurll.
Okay, so Marty Scurll got mentioned in the allegations, and what Marty Scurll did was he was accused of basically having relations with a 16-year-old, who is legal in UK, by the way, lady who was also under the influence, supposedly, of alcohol. And at the time, it was believed to be consensual, but now she's saying it's not. So Scurll gets accused, and he releases a very classy statement about the incident.
And then the internet went, wait a second.
Wait.
That one sounded awfully familiar about someone else's statement. There's a phrase that goes around where people shoot something into a basket and go, Kobe.
Yeah, basically Marty Scurll paraphrased/plagiarized, straight lifted, however you would like to call it, Kobe Bryant's apology for his allegations a while back, and everybody figured it out and called him out on it. He's since released a second statement that is longer.
Putting the emphasis on we failed.
Yeah.
We failed. We.
We failed. And he doesn't really take responsibility for it. He basically comes out and says that we as a wrestling business failed her because she was a fan. I should note that a lot of these accusations are by female and male wrestlers inside the industry. There are a few fans. She's one of them that did make accusations against wrestlers. And, you know, it's not a we failed her as an industry thing, which is exactly what he said. It is a you failed her thing. That is on you. You supposedly did this. I'm not going to judge, but I'm going to judge. You supposedly did this. You were in full functioning capability of your facilities. She was not, in theory. You should have known better.
And it, okay, and here's where my biggest problem is. We've seen WWE react, which when we're going to talk about Impact reacting here in a moment, we've seen AEW in a sense react. It took ROH days to...
ROH just released a statement today.
At Ring of Honor, we pride ourselves on the respectful, inclusive environment we have built. One that ensures all employees can work in a place where they feel safe and respected. We take these matters extremely seriously and have a zero-tolerance policy when it comes to this type of behavior. Ring of Honor has launched an immediate investigation into claims made against its currently contracted wrestlers. We will have an update. We will update you on our investigation once it concludes.
I mean, for all of these, right? Everybody deserves to at least have the chance to have their say, have it looked into, and make sure that it is, in fact, what people say it is, right? Innocent until proven guilty. That's how that goes. Everybody has the right to a fair trial in this, all right? They shouldn't just be auto-fired, and nobody has been auto-fired.
What?
Everybody has been looked into. It's all been researched. It's all been verified. Because here's the thing. If you fire somebody for this, and so... it can cause problems. Or if you fire somebody and it's not provable, or if it's a false claim, and so it causes issues. So they're going to make sure that everything is buttoned up, everything is correct, and that is not that they're doubting the accusers. They just want to make sure that everybody is treated fairly.
All right, can we get to the last one?
Yes. Let's save the big one for the end. So Impact Wrestling. Impact Wrestling. They got problems.
Okay. For all the things you could say about Impact, they did the right thing. David Christ, whatever, has been terminated from Impact Wrestling due to domestic violence and sexual abuse allegations there were many accounts brought against him.
Yeah, multiple.
Against him. They are looking into the entire Michael Elgin situation. From he's had a past, he probably has a present. They have suspended Michael Elgin for the foreseeable future, which is why in the last segment, when I said the 5-way was now 3-way, that's why.
Yeah, Michael Elgin's out.
He is out. Until further notice, they're investigated, which probably will end in termination, most likely.
Yeah.
So,
and
then there's the guy we all knew, should have known, could have figured.
Joey Ryan. He's been released. He has been officially released from Impact Wrestling. A lot of people have come out against him. Poor Candace. Poor fucking Candace.
Okay.
Oh my god.
The fact she had to come out and make a statement, I feel so bad for her. She should not be tied up into this. Do not tweet her about this. Do not try to get her involved in this. She has no business tied up with this individual. Please, separate
them. Yeah, leave her be. Unless you're tweeting to support her, leave her be. Do not accuse her. Do not pull her into this, because apparently she had no knowledge of what was going on.
A lot of his friends did not know it, or chose not to, because it's a wrestling business and you keep to yourself.
I want to talk about that after we get done with this.
So
there were Joey Ryan.
16 counts. 16 counts.
He needs to go to jail.
At least
16 public. We don't know how many more. He needs to go to jail. I'm sorry. I don't want to judge. I don't... innocent until proven guilty, but if he is guilty, he needs to go to jail.
Okay. Props to Tony Khan for this, not bringing him in. Props. You realize what you have in front of you. The boys are being the elite. They've taken down episodes and recut some stuff around things that he was involved with. Good job on them. They're trying to get rid of the track. So if you still want being the elite content, they have removed him from the content, so that's good there. But he should go to jail because he played a sleazeball guy with the dick flip, I mean, we all should have realized this. So
I had an inkling, I'm not gonna lie.
I think we all did. We all kind of did. It's, but you go with wrestling, and sometimes it's just wrestling, and it's just, thank goodness the dick flip is done.
Yeah. So, to everybody that has spoken out, to all the stories that are still coming out, you're all incredibly brave.
Mm-hmm.
We applaud you for your mm-hmm. for your courage and coming out and calling people out and bringing this to light, because this absolutely should be brought to light. So, good on you. Bravo to you. I hope that you can recover and this helps you kind of find closure for what has happened to you, if that's possible. But this helps you. Getting it out there in public helps you. If and for people out there that are watching this that are going after people on Twitter, please don't do that. Please do not attack anybody. And I said this before we did this. Do not attack anybody that is making an accusation. Okay? Because you don't know the circumstances. You can sit there and be like, and especially if it's your favorite, right? Because a lot of people watch their heroes fall over the weekend. A lot of people. People that you never would have ever have expected to get accused, got accused. And a lot of people had to sit there and watch it. And it was terrible. But it needed to happen. Because this has been going on in the wrestling industry for probably since the get-go. And people have turned a blind eye to it. And they haven't said anything. And when allegations have come out in the past, nobody's believed anybody. And now the allegations are coming out against multiple people. They're being believed. They're being taken seriously. And this actually spread from wrestling to the gaming industry, to the comedy industry, to all kinds of industries where now it's not just wrestling that's getting called out. It's multiple areas that are people are being called out for this. So the fact that this was going on and it was being ignored is wrong, and it shouldn't have been. And I'm happy that it's being brought to light and people are finally able to find some closure, find some justice in this. So again, you do not know the circumstances. Please do not accuse people of naming false allegations. Do not attack people making allegations. Okay? Just leave people alone. Let them get it out there. Because if you've ever been a victim of sexual abuse, mental abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse, you understand exactly how difficult it is to talk about it and put it out in a public forum where pretty much the entire world's going to see it, especially if it is of a sexual nature. Not to say that that's any worse, but sexual in particular is extremely difficult to talk about because it is so personal. So please do not attack people.
So with that, I say we go to break.
I want to say one more thing.
Okay, she has one more comment. Okay, I'm trying to get to the good stuff, Chad. I'm trying.
We're trying to get to the fun stuff, and then we are going to get to the fun stuff, kind of, and we're going to talk about it. So it kind of upsets me, and it bothers me, and I think it bothers a lot of people that there was a lot of people who were coming out and saying, oh, I didn't know that this was going on. Their friends didn't know this was going on. And you want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Right? That they did not know. Because they probably didn't. Some of them probably didn't. When Candace says she didn't know, I believe she didn't know. But in the same respect, some people did know. And they turned a blind eye to it, or it's boys talk, or it's the boys being the boys, right? Because this isn't just sexual abuse. This is people being verbally abusive to trainees. They're being physically abusive to other wrestlers. They're being mentally abusive to other wrestlers. And people just turned a blind eye to it because it's breaking into the business. And it was believed that's how you're supposed to break into the business, is you're supposed to essentially be a bully and hurt people. And people were turning a blind eye. Fans included. We're all guilty of this. We are all 100% guilty of this. There's not one person out there that can say that they aren't. And we need to be better. We need to do better. We need to take care of each other. And in terms of the wrestling industry, this has to stop. People have to stop just turning a blind eye and being like, oh, well, you know, they're a major star. They really shouldn't be doing that, but they're a major star. They could torpedo my career. You know what? If they're hurting someone for any reason, you should say something. Because in the case, like Joey Ryan, at least 16 cases, 16 accusations, separate. David Crist, multiple accusations of domestic and sexual abuse. And there's more. Those are just the ones that spoke up. Think of how many more didn't. And how many more just, you know, people knew about it or heard about it and were like, oh yeah, you know, that's just them being them, or that's the nature of the business. That's not the nature of the business. That shouldn't be the nature of the business. That needs to change. And we as fans should not accept it. Okay, I'm done. I wanted to get that out because I just see that. Yeah, there were new allegations, LeMans against him as well. we just didn't add him. Velveteen Dream was also accused again. And I believe that is being investigated, but I haven't heard anything else on that investigation.
Let's go to break.
So we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we are going to do some lighter stuff. We're going to do Tweet of the Week. And we are talking all about the final chapter of The Last Ride, where I'm going to try and not ugly cry my way through it. Because this was the humdinger of an episode, as I keep saying. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in... I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. And I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, you're going to put something on that list. Why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list. Write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch.
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support the creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's our ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Yes, this is The Rack.
It just popped.
It's okay.
I love it when Skype works. So yeah, we're back. All right. So if you missed the very, very heavy parts of the show,
listen in the VOD or check out the podcast available at rackradioshow.com and wildtalkradio.com on all podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more.
Yep, basically. Yeah, check it out. But now we are going to have a little fun. We're going to make the show lighter because this is our 8th anniversary of doing this show. 8 years. And if you can believe it.
And there's been one constant the entire time. One.
One thing that has survived since the original incarnation of the show, which is Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
I have to get to the bottom of my tweets, because we have, like, a bunch of tweets. I have a bunch, because we didn't do it last week. Holy shit, where is it? Okay, I think this is... Oh, did I not unfavorite? There we go. Okay, hold on. I got the bottom.
You've made it to the bottom, and then we'll get to the top.
Yeah.
Now we're here.
We're good. I had to refresh because I had a bunch that I had to take out, so I was like, wait, where's the bottom? I had the bottom, and then I don't have it. All right, anyway. Courage, JD. Warzone, day one. Man, footsteps are really quiet. They should fix that. Warzone, day 37. Man, footsteps are really quiet. They should really fix that. Warzone, day 189. Man, footsteps are really quiet. They should fix that. Marcel, remember when Tim the Tatman and I died so you could tweet this? Tim replies, get more likes on this tweet. Thank you. Miro, aka Rusev, the sea monster from Southpaw Wrestling, finally made its main roster debut. Bianca Belair, in reference to the Viking prophets and the bowling ball incident. First of all, with claps, I'm for real about to whoop all of y'all at Ivar WWE ass. Ivar responds, but Viking profits, smiley face. And then Eric follows it up with Will Smith going, I mean, and he just shrugs. I don't think that's going to make up for that. She's still going to, like, punch you in the face.
I mean...
And she was on point with that, too. She, like, tweeted that about 3 seconds after it happened. She was, like, ready for it. So, good on her. Renee Young. My favorite thing about Samoa Joe on commentary is his sadistic belly laugh when he knows something just hurt like hell. Rob Schomburger. Spoiler. Next week, Randy Orton will punt a baby into the crowd, but it won't be his fault. Hashtag WWE Raw. Sarah O'Connell. 42 is how Yoda says 2 for T.
Okay.
I have to go up because they're out of order. Cypher PK. I think I'm going to take some time off streaming in Fortnite and learn how to turn on the dishwasher and how to put laundry in the basket. Thanks for your support, Hart. He follows that up with, I've been hacked. Jessica Blevins responds with, I read the first one out loud to Ninja before I saw this. I was like, oh, look what Cypher tweeted. Ninja responds, bro, dead ass. She was like, hey, babe, look at what Cypher tweeted. Cypher responds, I got you, bro. We ain't gonna learn today. Maybe a future day. When your wife gets hold of your phone. Ben H. Worrell, property finance specialist. Saturday morning in the Humphreys residence with Samoa Joe and WWE, and it's his sons walking around doing Samoa Joe's entrance with the towels. And he responds, may these children grow strong and have mighty necks that will bear a full towel someday. Stu Bennett, excitedly up at 6 a.m. in California to watch some football after months of no PNEFC. And the streaming website is down. 2020 has finally broken me, and he used a top-tier GIF of him doing the gabble bang with the bad news intensifies.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
He then follows it up with, crisis over. I'm in. Come on, PNEFC. Cloaksy. If tomato is a fruit, does that mean ketchup is a smoothie? Dr. Lupo. You put tomato sauce in a calzone. Is it a Pop-Tart too? Chica. Love you. Say it back. Myth. I want a fart in a Ziploc bag and send it to you. Dr. Lupo. Adding this to the list of tweets I'll show your future kids. Myth goes, okay, buddy. Lupo hit that reverse Uno card on me, y'all. Brittany, after this week. Every time I open Twitter, I feel like I need a glass of wine. Legit. So legit. Tim the Tatman tweets the tourist from Despicable Me. Are y'all done? That basically Whips put his tats on the tourist guy. And Jordan Fisher replies in tiny ass font. Tiny hands. NZXT. We'll give you a free gaming PC as long as you buy all the parts, pay an assembly fee, and cover the shipping costs. DiGiorno. Trade a pizza for a PC? And ZXT. Deliver it first. DiGiorno. Well,
you see about that.
Marcel. French bulldog for sale. Name Voldemort. Choose wallets and runs. Is impossible to catch after. It's a picture of Voldemort in his little cage thing. DiGiorno. Sold. Marcel. Should I deliver him? DiGiorno. We'll allow it this one time. See you soon. Drive safe. So Malcolm Blevins tweeted out pictures of WWE Fox's Twitter, where he said, made my 205 live debut, proof that hard work and flailing your arms outside William Regal's office while screaming you're the greatest cruiserweight alive pays off. WWE and Fox responded with, we love you and we're proud of you, Malcolm Blevins. And then they followed it up with, Malcolm Blevins truly has the most punchable face in all of WWE. And they respond with, we got hacked for the first one. Another one tweets, yo, is Lupo a Smash fan? And he responds, of course I am. Ask Mrs. Dr. Lupo. Papa tweets out, the best murder-free coffee I've ever had, at Dr. Lupo at Darkness429 talking about King's Coast coffee. King's Coast responds, thanks, Dr. Lupo. And he goes, never found murder in mine. Just saying. Robert Stonebrand. Next week, during my huge return to the ring, I'll have my lawyer call you, Beth Phoenix, to let you know what you can and can't say. She responds with, you're the Diet Coke of evil. Just one calorie. Not evil enough. Matt Mitchell. Restaurants should be legally required to tell you if they serve Miracle Whip instead of real mayo. And that's the truth. They should. Because real mayo, man. Real mayo. Cloxy. I'm going back to 7 a.m. streams. See y'all tomorrow. 100 gifted, if not live, by 7:15 a.m. Eastern. Today. Followed up. I'm late. WWE on Fox. The most shocking betrayal in WWE history was Rob Schomburger when you made a Bob Ross graphic of Dexter Loomis and not one of me. I mean, it's not a lie.
Not a lie.
I'm done.
You had a lot.
I did. I told you I had a bunch because we haven't done it for 2 weeks.
It's good. Also because you brought it up before.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
I just favorited the Barrett tweet because he used his own GIF. Mm-hmm. That is just next level epic right there.
All right. So here we go. Dr. Lupo, 4 million followers on Twitch. Heart emojis. Genticles. And they all yelled, yep, cocks at me today.
Like you do.
Dr. Disrespect went, how? Lupo, I've asked the same thing about someone as old as you knowing what Twitter is.
Oh.
Because, all right, continue on. Go back to that one. Come on. There you go. Trevor May, screw it. If you have baseball questions, ask them here. Could be anything. I'll try and answer as well as I can. Tentacles, what is a shortstop and what does it do? I assume for a long time it was the fence behind the back wall to keep the balls from going over it if the guy back there was too short to catch it in time. It's a position between second or third. I mean, that is the logical answer.
He's kind of a cutoff guy, isn't he?
No, he plays the shortstop is the position between second and third. That's his position.
Right, but he kind of backs up the pitcher and he's like a cutoff guy, right? That if the ball, they shoot one over the pitcher's head, but it's low enough, he can catch it, right?
I mean, the second baseman could also be a cutoff guy, third base, anyone could be a cutoff guy. So.
They're too busy talking.
Anyway.
They're too busy talking to the base coach.
SportsCenter tweeted, Ezekiel Elliott tested positive for COVID. Okay, cool. John Madden, fake John Madden, for the safety of the other 31 teams and all football fans. I believe the only thing left to do is proceed with the NFL without the Dallas Cowboys. It's been a fun ride, but everything must end. Right, Brad? They should just go. I mean, that'd be good for everyone, right? Let's see. Dolph Ziggler tweets, good day.
Hi.
Just tweeted out, good day.
Hi. What's up? How's it going? I don't know.
The Road Dog tweets, did you tell Real Billy Gunn Happy Father's Day? Ziggler goes, I went to visit and knocked. I could hear people, but no one opened the door. Then my ass called somebody, but he didn't answer. And he used a gif of the Outlaws knocking on the door when they went to WCW. Let's see. Bailey. Ha 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 ha. Hey, Renee Young. That's what you get for trying to make Bailey dose straps work on my way off. Oopsie. Prince Pretty. Your way off? Bailey. On my way off to the beach. Because today's my day off. Duh.
Nice recovery.
Complexity Gaming. Looks like Microsoft and streaming didn't mix well.
I mean, they didn't.
And finally, because it was requested. Oh, wait, one more before the requested one. Renee Young fixed the tweet. Day, dummy. Thanks for being our special guest and single-handedly killing our show. Thanks for the rating, Dose Straps. But because this was requested in chat. because this goes all the way back.
It is the anniversary.
Iron Cheek. Baseball's back, jabronis.
There you go.
Okay. So now we're going to get into The Undertaker. And there's a lot that needs to be talked about. And there's a lot to this episode. But I think we need to generalize where it's at and sort of take a look at the thing that everyone's talking about first. And that's the ending.
So.
But hold on. Let's listen.
No, don't make me listen to it again.
I want to make you listen to it for 1 minute.
Fine.
To the end.
Wait, does this count as having The Undertaker on the show?
Yes.
If Vince was in a pinch, would I, you know, would I come back? I guess time only tell there. Case of emergency, break glass, you pull out The Undertaker. I mean, I would have to consider that. Never say never, but at this point in my life and in my career, I have no desire to get back in the ring. I got a pit in my stomach right now.
I like him tapping his feet on the floor.
This time the cowboy really rides away.
So there you go.
So, okay, so let's get into this and let's talk about this and kind of break this part of it down. So I've been kind of saying this. I think I said it on the show when we talked about it last week or on one of the other times. The way that they've been kind of building this story up is it's been leading up to Taker's eventual retirement. And the final episode is obviously the most fitting place to do that. We've watched him try and fail to retire multiple times. And the situation for him is so unique right now because of COVID, because of everything that's going on in the world. He's not going to get in front of a live audience anytime soon. And I think he knows and accepts that. And we're going to talk about what led up to the match with AJ. But the match with AJ was the best thing that he's done in a really, really long time. And he acknowledges that. And he looked at the feedback and he saw the feedback. And it's like, you know what? If I got to go out, that's a good one to go out on. And he's also had some other personal difficulties, which we are going to talk about as well, that are kind of leading into this. What's really interesting is he doesn't directly say he's retired. He doesn't directly say that he's done.
He never used the R word. He said everything but the R word.
Essentially, what he's indicated is that for right now, because when this was shot, this is very recent footage. It was shot post-WrestleMania. I think it was shot either May or this month.
It was probably in May because Gertie was still dark.
So it's probably shot right after Mania happened. And he says, I have no desire to get back in the ring right now. He didn't say he was done with wrestling. He didn't say that he was retired. He just indicated that right now he's not interested in going back to the ring.
No desire.
You know, could that change? Yes, that could very clearly change, as we've seen across 5 episodes. He could change his mind at any point. So this is not an actual retirement. This is a potential retirement. We will have to see where he goes and what he does. Because here's the thing. He could retire from in-ring competition and he could still be a character on TV. Especially given the current circumstances right now, what's going on with everything. He very fittingly says, in case of emergency, break glass and break out The Undertaker.
We would have to see.
That could happen.
Especially
they could call him.
Especially in certain situations.
Yeah, especially with what's going on right now with the company. They could do that. Would he do it? I don't know. I think if Vince asked him, he would absolutely do it, just given that relationship. But he didn't retire. But if he did retire, if he is done, if he's never going to get in the ring ever again, I'm okay with that. And more importantly, he's okay with that.
You know what sucks? He retired. I know. We don't want to say it. He did. But we had to watch it on a network special. Not in front of 70,000 people at a WrestleMania. It was a network special where he said it. That sucks. Because you want to see the fans give him the send-off. I know, we've seen it at 33 with Roman. Yeah.
We've technically seen it like 4 times.
Okay. But you know, it's like you want that moment. You want that final moment with him. And maybe the Hall of Fame is the final moment with him as like the Undertaker. Who knows? But it sucks it had to happen on the special, which we all knew was the reason behind it. But it sucks.
It does suck. Like, I don't think that's how he wanted to go out. I know there was a plan. I know he had it all. He was going to tell his story and he was going to write all this, and he had the grand plan, the grand design, and COVID happened, right? And nobody anticipated it doing what it was doing. Nobody anticipated that WrestleMania was going to get sent to the PC and cinematic matches were going to happen and we were going to get everything we were going to get, right? Like, when he agreed to do the match, that wasn't even on the radar.
So let's go back in time to for what this episode was about, was The Undertaker agreeing to his match with AJ Styles. That's what this was all about.
Yes.
And the best part about it, one, AJ's the one who created the scenario. He's the one who called Mark and asked him for the match. And two, after Mark figures out, yeah, okay, kid, you got it, they ribbed the kid.
Which is so good. Yeah, so Taker's like, yeah, I had to hem and haw over it. And it's like, sure you did. For like the last three episodes, all we've seen is you flirting with AJ Styles. But okay, all right, you had to hem and haw over it. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he actually had to. But he had to hem and haw over it. And so he finally makes the decision and he calls Vince and he says, okay, all right, well, I'm going to do the thing, but I want you to call AJ. And I want you to tell him that I'm working Mania, but I'm facing somebody else. And Vince, of course, goes along with it. Excuse me. So they call AJ and they tell him Taker's going to work Mania, but he wants to put this kid over from Nashville.
Okay. Technically, he was. Because TNA.
TNA. And AJ was like, what?
What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, wait, what? And it should be noted that the setup for this is actually that Taker and AJ are friends. They know each other through a mutual connection that lives in Austin. They are actually, Taker and Michelle are acquainted with one of AJ's friends. And so through that friend, they've gotten to know AJ and his family. And so AJ called Taker and he's like, WTF, this is BS. What are you doing? No. No. And then they're like, fooled you. And he's like, yeah, they didn't get me, but they got me. But they didn't get me. So that whole setup happens. And what the other revelation of this was that the promos that AJ did, apparently, Michelle did not know.
How far
that was going to go. I don't think Taker knew. He never really comes out and says if he kind of greenlighted that or not. He kind of indicates that he didn't, but AJ just crossed the line because they're friends, so like they kind of went for it, because AJ was doing the attacks on Michelle and Michelle was texting AJ's wife like, you need to check your man because this is not okay. So she did not know, and she was like, yeah, I'm gonna punch him in the face, I'm gonna hurt him. And so the promos are what led to the Undertaker doing the more American Badass style character, where it's the Unholy Trinity, because now it's, well, I can't do the Dead Man character because the Dead Man character can't necessarily defend his wife's honor. But he doesn't want to go full American Badass, so he has to find a way to bring it all together and also include the personal aspect, because AJ's calling him Mark. He's not calling him Undertaker. So the three, the Unholy Trio, have to come together and they have to beat the shit out of AJ Styles. So That was interesting little insights. And you could also tell Taker did not like not being in front of a crowd. He was not a fan of that at all. Because they talked about all the COVID stuff and everything that happened and them getting pulled into the PC. And he talked about how absolutely difficult it was to gauge what was going on because they didn't have that instant feedback. Mm-hmm. So he didn't know if it was working or not. He was completely reliant on social media to tell him, yes, this is working, no, this is not working. So he's not a fan of the no audience thing. He does not like it, which I can understand, because again, when it's your entire job is fan driven, it makes sense that when they're not there, it doesn't work. But we also got some really good and really sad insights on the Bo Nerd match, because essentially Hunter had to figure out, AJ made the challenge and Hunter's like, what's a Boneyard match? And Vince was like, I'll figure it out. So Hunter and Michael Hayes had to figure it out, and they went to this piece of land that was like an hour north, or an hour outside of Orlando. They didn't say it was north. They just said it's outside Orlando. And they found this piece of property, and they turned it into the Boneyard match, where they were going to shoot it. And Hunter was the one that actually convinced Taker and AJ and Vince to shoot it as a cinematic, where they had the multicams and they have everything else, as opposed to just doing the stock standard setup. And of course, JB was involved.
He was. So there were a couple notes from it. One, 5 minutes in, as we all found out, the Undertaker, well, put his hand through the hearse and, well, chewed up his arm and they had to stop shooting. They went hours for the shooting, and while we all thought it was a good thing to prolong his career, he said, well, let's talk about that, because he's old, and the one thing he enjoys when he gets in the ring is adrenaline. And when you're stopping and starting and stopping and starting and stopping and starting, that adrenaline is not there every time you take a big bump.
Yeah, this was not good for him. He didn't enjoy it. I mean, he enjoyed it, but he didn't. Because, like, the physicality wasn't there for him. Because he kind of gets his cardio up, and then they take a break, and it goes down, so he's got to get his cardio back up again, and he's just... He kept getting cold, and he didn't like getting cold.
And there are other factors involved in this as well, with what had happened.
Yeah, so while they're shooting this, so what they did is they went out to the site, and they went over everything, and they looked at everything, and Taker and AJ and everybody agreed, yeah, okay, this is what we're going to do. And when they're driving back to Orlando, which is actually, I think, on Taker's birthday, or it is the day after Taker's birthday, they don't say, he gets a phone call from his niece, and he finds out that his brother, his elder brother, he's actually the youngest, so it's... I'm not sure where in the line the brother was, but his older brother had passed away from a heart attack the day before they're supposed to shoot the Boneyard match, which is in a cemetery with coffins and everything else. And so I have to give him props for powering through that, for doing like what essentially was like an 8 or 9 hour shoot,
mm-hmm.
dealing with that.
All that, yeah.
Because his brother lived in and around Austin, I would guess that they were very close, and Taker was having a hard time talking about it. He was tearing up about it in the interview, the sit down, and it's a hard thing. It's a very hard thing to lose somebody that you're that close to, that you've grown up with, and it's again proving that time is marching on. And he powered through that, and he did the thing, he did what he had to do to get through it. So I mean, just for him, because damn, mm-hmm. Damn. And then we found out afterwards that Michelle lost her nephew a couple weeks after that.
Yeah. I think when WrestleMania was airing or something like that.
Yeah, they found out. And what made it hard in both cases was, like, Taker had to call his mom and tell his mom that she'd lost a son. And then what made it worse was that they couldn't go to the funeral because of COVID. And the same thing for the nephew. They could not go to the funeral, I think, because of COVID. So that just made the whole thing extremely difficult for everybody involved.
Yeah, so that's heavy stuff. There's a lighter moment, though, that happened.
There is a lighter moment.
So Taker was brought back, and we all kind of wondered what the hell that was going on. When they brought him back to Madison Square Garden back in September, and I'm like, okay, what's he going to announce? What's he going to say? And when he said nothing, we all kind of wondered, and now it all makes sense why he said nothing. So he's back there, right? And the producer's there talking to him, the camera guy and whatever. And they're interviewing him. He talking about, you know, being an MSG, yada, 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 all that stuff. He even took pictures of the building and stuff when he was there last.
Because they had his picture under Elvis's picture.
Mm-hmm. By the way, props to MSG for the stuff they did over the week. During the week.
Yeah, that was very sweet.
And the producer dude goes, is there anything else we can do for you? And he hems and hauls around saying what he needs, but he was basically asking for makeup remover. Because he then tells the story, Lindsay.
So he talks about the one time one of the times that he brought his dad backstage with him, and how his dad was following him around and asking questions and everything like that. And he recounts that, you know, his father was both disappointed and extremely proud of him for his career choice, because Taker had a full ride scholarship to play basketball, and he dropped out of college and gave up the scholarship to do wrestling, which I'm sure just like sent his parents into an absolute just fury, if you think about it, because like, wait, you're going to do what? Like, he was set up to go play basketball, and then he's like, yeah, no, I'm not going to go do that. So, you know, Taker was getting dressed, and, like, the last thing he had to do was put the guy liner on, right, for the character. And so he's putting it on, and he turns and looks at his father, and his father's just shaking his head. Taker's like, yeah, your 6'8", 300-pound son is over here putting on eye makeup.
Yeah.
It was really sweet. Because Because then he kind of gets a little choked up and he's like, he missed him. Because his father passed away about 19 years ago. So his father has actually missed the entire back half of his career. And really, I would say the renaissance of The Undertaker in terms of just everything that we've seen and everything that he's done. Because, you know, everything that he did in the 90s was absolutely monumental. But I feel like, you know, everything he's done since has just, he's had that second wind and really that second career. And it's just been epic in terms of what he's done. So the fact that his father kind of missed it, I think hurts a little bit, because I'm sure he would have loved to have seen, you know, have his father see what he's done and he's achieved. But it was a really sweet moment. I like how he's like, I need makeup remover. I need to get this shit off. Please.
Someone help me, please.
Which, why don't you travel with makeup remover?
Because they all have it there.
But you go to CVS and you can get the little Neutrogena packets for like a dollar, and you just, there's five of them in there, and you throw them in there and you wipe it off and you're done.
He doesn't need it. He has a whole, they have a whole staff for that.
How do you volunteer to take off The Undertaker's makeup? I need to know.
First, you have to do something. No, anyway.
No. So, I'm trying to think if there's anything else really that stands out from this episode.
That's about it. Oh yeah, the final thing we need to talk about. So at the end, it's very touching. They play all the sad country music, as you know they always do. And he's out there talking about people, right? You know, he's talking about Bret Hart, Yokozuna, Mark Henry, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and the Mayor Kane.
I like how it's the Mayor Kane.
It's the Mayor Kane. He'll always be the Mayor Kane.
I find that relationship really interesting, and I would love to know more about it, because I watched, after this, excuse me, the Kane interview with Stone Cold. Finally got around to watching it because I'm out of content. And I wanted to watch it and I remembered it was out there. So the way that Kane talks about Mark Undertaker, I don't know. Are we allowed to call him Mark? Are we allowed to do that now? I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, The Undertaker was absolutely instrumental in Kane's career and always went to bat for him and always defended him and always stood up for him. They're work married, basically. And so I kind of love that relationship and that dynamic between the two, the way that they talk about each other. Because Taker, I think, really, really, really likes Glenn to shout him out twice, you know, and just to be giving him crap and everything. So I think he really likes him. But I like that relationship and how that dynamic is. I would actually love to see them more, like the two of them sit down together and just shoot shit. Would be amazing, at least to me. I don't know about anything else, but I would love to watch that. But yeah, this was everything that you wanted in a finale. The country music, which was Troubadour by George Strait, kicked you in the fucking feels so hard, just so hard. I ugly cried my way through the ending of it, as I keep saying. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if this is really it, and he's done, I'm sad that he's done, but I'm also happy for him. Because it's obviously a decision that he has struggled with. And if it means that he's no longer in pain, if it means that he gets to be happy and spend time with his family and his daughters and his son and his wife and enjoy all the fruits of his labor, so be it, man. Go live your life. Go enjoy yourself. Go do everything that you've kind of missed out on doing. And just thank you. Just thank you for, at least for me, 20 years of memories and enjoyment and inspiration and everything. I don't know if I would be a wrestling fan without The Undertaker. That's the thing. I think he's kind of that one constant that sort of kept me in the business. Like when everybody else left me, The Undertaker was there. How sad is that?
Well, I get it.
I would fall in love with people and then they would go away and it's like, but I love him. Bring him back. Where did he go? And there was always The Undertaker. He was always there. And I hope he writes a book. I think that would be the one thing that I would love to see from him, is that he does write a book and he talks about his life and his career. Like, I know that we got this and this was such a wonderful introspection into him, and to see not only The Undertaker, but to see Mark Calloway, because he's such, I feel like the man behind it is more mysterious than the actual character. And for good reason, because he's incredibly private. Mm-hmm. He has to be. And so to get to see him, to get to see his personality and what he's really like, and the fact that throughout the years and conversations and wondering that certain things are true, that we were actually able to peg on him. It's like, okay, all right, cool. Got that right. Awesome. I think was really neat. I think it was... I actually think I like Mark Calloway more than I like The Undertaker. Is that wrong?
And you were afraid. Like, going into this, you was very afraid of that.
I was really afraid to see the person because they always say you never want to meet your heroes, right? And the hardest thing is when your heroes are proved mortal. And you see what they're really like because you see them on TV and you make assumptions about them, which you shouldn't do, but we all do it, you know, in terms of based on what we see. And I think I was really, really scared that like they were going to show who he really was. And it's like, oh my God, what if he's an asshole? Or what if he's like a prick? What if he's, you know, super creepy or gross? Or
what if the real story is what we've seen? We had to talk about in our second segment.
Yeah. Like, you know, what if he's done all these horrific things and he's not really, ultimately, what if he's not the person that everybody says that he is, right? What if he's really just this horrible person? What am I going to do? Because it's like I have so much invested in this human being as a fan that it's like, God, if we ever had to cancel The Undertaker, I don't know if I could do it. It's that serious. And so the fact that he wasn't that and he's just this, at least from all appearances, down to earth, chill, smart ass, sarcastic Texas redneck who you just want to go have a beer with makes me so happy. Because like I said, I was afraid. I was really afraid that my opinion of him was going to change. And it's like, what if it changes for the worse? Like, I'm glad it changed for the better because it did change. But what if it changes for the worse? What if I don't like him after this? What am I supposed to do with my life? No, not with my life. But like,
yeah.
Like, what am I supposed to do? So,
yeah. Oh, LeMans brings up his interaction with the New Day. That was great.
Oh, that was amazing. That was so amazing. I just kind of want all the B-roll footage of Taker interacting with all the young guys. Because there was like a clip from last episode where he, and I think we talked about it, where he's like, all these assholes were kids when I showed up. And then Seth's like, hi! Taker's like, I wasn't talking about you. And Seth runs away. But I just want Taker, like, I don't know. I want to see like those interactions with the talent. And I want to see... I want more from this, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Which is sad and it's wrong, but
you want the like, want the outtakes, you want the B-roll, you want the side, you want the side story rather than the main story. You want to see his interaction with people, you want to see him do other things and just see it all cuz you know.
I want the outtakes cuz I want him to drop an F-bomb in the outtakes. Cuz you know he did at least 20 times.
You mean other than the two words?
Yeah, other than the two words. Other than the two times it happened. I want, like, the outtakes. I just, you know, it's just seeing somebody being natural, that there's this fascination with it till there's not, because we don't ever get to see it. But it's like, this is really cool that he opened his life up and his family up for us to see this and experience this, because he didn't have to. You know, I think the last time he did it was in storyline and it did not go well for him, so the fact that he did do this time, it's not necessarily a part of storyline, and he let us see how he is with his wife and his daughters and his family and his friends and find out who he's really close with, and he just gave us that. Like, that's really cool.
Whole thing was really cool. And if you missed our recaps, they're all available at rockradioshow.com, where we broke down every single episode.
Oh yeah, that was the other thing we missed. He went down to NXT and he's working with the big guys as NXT. So I'm going to say this. I'm going to call this right now. Thank you, LeMans, for reminding me of that. They're going to get him to be a trainer. They're going to convince him to do it because you can tell that he loves to do that. You watch him go down to NXT and he works with the younger guys. And you can see that he just really genuinely enjoys that experience. So I feel like at some point they are going to convince Taker to be a trainer. I don't know when. It might be a few years. But I think they're going to get him like they got Sean.
Took Sean five years.
I think they're going to let Taker be out for a little while, you know, feel him out, see how he feels, and then have him come in and be like a guest trainer or something. Because I don't think they're going to get him to move to Florida, but
They got Sean out of Texas.
They got Sean out of Texas. I don't know if they're going to get Taker out of Texas, because Taker owns multiple properties in Texas. He's got that big old piece of land that they were shooting on, and then he's got the house that they were shooting at, which are not the same property. You can just tell based on the way that they shot that, it's not the same property. So yeah, I'm calling it. I have no information. I have no anything in terms of Taker actually becoming a trainer, but you can see that he has a real passion for doing that and for teaching and for helping the future of the business in terms of giving back that way. You can see he really genuinely loves and enjoys doing that and just being around the boys and the girls and helping them. And yeah, I can completely see him doing that and enjoying the hell out of it. And that's how he stays in the business. Because I don't think they're ever going to get him fully out, but I think they're just trying. I think at this point he's probably done wrestling. But I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to see where he's at next WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's that.
I mean,
that will be the telling sign.
Legit. Because here's the thing. They flirted AJ. They could do a return match with AJ. I don't want to say they're going to. So I want to take Mark Calloway at his word that he's actually done. But as we've seen, it's not always the case. So, because I think he does. I think he wants to go out in front of the live crowds one more time, get that buzz one more time, and say that farewell. But we'll see if it happens.
But I think that's it for us tonight.
I think that's it for us tonight, too. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in and enduring such a long show, a heavy show. Normally, we don't like to have this much news. We don't like to talk this long. But wrestling essentially imploded over the past week, and we had to talk about it. So, yeah, we're done. So, Rock?
Coming up in a couple minutes, we're going to try and get a couple games of Fortnite in with everyone. That's the plan. We're doing a shortened edition of Fortnite with friends. Saturday night, midnight edition, CB Raider, CBRadar.com, GreatTheGreatDebate.com. Clearly there's stuff in wrestling, which means Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's Raw Post, 11 p.m. Eastern. Direct Raider Show on all your social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Direct Raider Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Use creator code ROCKSOCK in the Fortnite item shop, hashtag ad. Hashtag my partner. Link your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. Okay. At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. Thank you, everyone, who's listened to this show, downloaded this show, interacted with us on Facebook and Twitter and whatever. We appreciate you. It's an 8-year journey for the two of us together. We thank you for being a part of this journey. The journey continues on. We're going to have to do shows where we don't talk about The Undertaker.
Oh, I'll figure out a way to work him in.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, we appreciate everyone who's listened tonight. Day one. Somehow we gained an intern through this show. I don't know. It's just how it may be.
The best thing this show ever gave us, Brent.
I thought it was Kane for an interview, but that's...
I mean, Kane was pretty epic. I'm still waiting on my Undertaker interview, damn it. He's doing press! How do we get him? Actually, honestly, I don't know if I can interview the Undertaker. I'd probably be like, da-ba-da-da, hi. Because all the stuff I would want to ask him would probably offend him.
So we're going to do Fortnite with friends coming up in a minute. You have stuff you want to plug.
So yeah, I just want to say a quick thank you, like Rock, to everybody who has listened over the years, everybody who has downloaded the show, everybody who's put up with our crap over the years. Thank you so much for coming with us on this journey, because we started this, we tell this story every year, but we started this show, I didn't think anybody was going to listen to it, I didn't think anybody was going to like it, so the fact that you guys do listen to it and you do like it, at least I think you do, means so much to me. It means the world to both of us that you guys enjoy the show and you take your time to come and listen to us, whether you're listening live, whether you're listening on the VOD, whether you're listening on a download, however you're listening to this. So thank you so, so much for that. Thank you for spending the last 8 years with us. Because there have been days that we haven't done the show or haven't wanted to do the show, but we do the show anyway because it's like, you know what, we need to, we should do it. And then there are days that we absolutely love doing the show. So thank you so much. And yeah, if you want to follow more crappy content like this, awkward transition, you can follow my Twitch, twitch.tv/LinsWard. You can follow me on Twitter, at LinsWard, LinsWard. And you can follow me on Instagram under the same name. So with that, and also check out our sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So with that, we are going to take a break. We are going to go get something to drink. We are going to go do everything that we need to do, take care of everything. I strongly urge you to do the same, because when we come back, we are going to squat up, we're going to get our adopted son and Omega, and we are going to play Fortnite.
For a little bit.
For a little bit. So till then, you're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.